A few minutes ago, you used these words in a hymn. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. But let's be honest this morning. Some of those words we do not like. They go against the grain in our life. They reveal things about us that trouble us. For the last 2 weeks, I've missed Sundays. I've had the flu and strep throat, and I've watched by television. And last Sunday, I didn't take time, and I should have. I was too late to start marking down how many times the pastor used the word I'm going to use today. Even in the midst of the crashing of the glass, for those of you who missed it in the 11 o'clock service, this particular word is unpleasant to hear. And some of us would like to remove it from our Bibles, but that's impossible. It's the word sin. Now, when you stop and think about it, I wish I could say to you, the word sin is gone, will never come back. And if we could change the word, we would never change the meaning. It is surprising how many times the Word of God uses the word sin. Paul, in his letters, uses it 60 times. And I'm honest with you when I say I really don't know how many times Hans used it last week and last Sunday night. Two of those passages out of Paul's letter to the Roman church are passages that we know. And yet sometimes we ignore them because it contains that little word sin. Let's look at the first one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, if you look at that word closely, you see that it's all inclusive, that passage is. There's no one left out, no one ignored, no one looked over. Now, let's look at the next one, Romans 6:23. There it is. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible uses the word sin as a noun, as a verb, and as an adjective. And in those two verses that have been on the screen, it's used those ways. But it speaks about our lives and the lives of people that we know. The word sin is a very, very descriptive word. The word and tense that Paul uses in Romans 3:23 includes every member of the human race, for all have sinned. It describes us as people with certain activities in our lives because the word sin describes our actions. It means that we miss the mark or we don't reach the goal that God has for our lives. It also means that we fail to meet the standard God has for us. Now, if you pause for a moment and think that God has a pattern and God has a standard, and if you get close, maybe that helps. That doesn't help. you've still missed it. But that's true of everybody. That's true of everyone in this room and everybody you'll meet next week and everybody you encounter. It also describes our attitude. Do you know what the attitude of sin is? It is the attitude of rebellion. Now stop and think. How many times have you almost been a little resentful that God through His Holy Spirit would speak to you about your sin and you resented it? And perhaps you've even wanted to say, now Lord, I'm not nearly as bad as some people I know. But the word sin also describes our allegiance. Sin is the governing principle in most of our lives. Now hear me very carefully. Sin doesn't mean you're as bad as you can be. Most of you in this room could be a whole lot worse. What it really means is you're not as good as you should be. And as not as good as you could be. I can remember many times of talking to people about their need for Jesus Christ, and they would say to me, now, I want you to know I'm really not that bad a sinner. And if the Spirit of God began to really work on their heart and life, they would simply say to me, well, I'm not as bad as that guy you've got in your church. And when you pastor in small communities like I did for years and work in small churches, that's almost the standard statement. I'm not as bad as some of the people you have in your church. What they fail to realize is that God never holds up somebody else as His standard for our lives. You know who He holds up? His Son. His Son. So sin doesn't mean that you're as bad as you can be. It just simply means you're not as good as you should be. And so Paul said, for all have sinned. Paul said, the wages of sin is death. Paul wanted us to know that this word sin affects everybody and is a universal word. Everybody that you know, everybody in your world of influence, everybody in our world deals with a sin problem. Don't you wish we could take that and send it away? Don't you just wish we could get rid of it? It means every nation is involved. A number of years ago, a leading artist in Europe, said, I want to do a project. I want to paint as carefully as I can innocence and purity as good as I can paint it. So he began to search for a model and found a small child, put that child in front of him, sketched that child, and then painted the picture of that child. And everybody made comments about it. How perfect it was. How sweet it was. How the radiance of purity just seemed to flow out from that picture. That artist decided not to sell it. In fact, he put it in the hallway of his studio, and everybody that came in came face to face with that beautiful picture of a child. When he got older in life, he decided, I need to make a contrast. And so he said, I'm going to paint a picture of the epitome of evil. I've done the epitome of innocence. I want to do the epitome of evil. And so he began to search for a model. And finally, after a long search and having people help him, he found one individual that depicted evil at its essence. And he persuaded that man to come and sit down in his studio and let him sketch him and then paint him. When the man sat down, he said, "You know, when I walked in, I remember posing for that picture out in the hall." You and I live in that kind of world. A kind of world that sometimes spotlights innocence, but most of the time has to deal with the evil that's present. And it affects everybody. Everybody. The Apostle Paul was pointed when he said, "All have sinned." But the word sin is also a powerful word. It affects every aspect of our lives. Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, said that Satan, in his power of sin, blinds the minds of individuals. I want you to think a minute about the world in which you live and I live, the world in which we operate, that sometimes we've said, "What in the world is going on? What's happened to us?" In our world, to blind the eyes of men and the hearts of men, as Satan does through sin, means that men are prone to call sin an accident when God calls it an abomination. Men are prone to call it a defect when God calls it a disease. When man calls it an error, God calls it enmity. When man calls it liberty, God calls it lawlessness. When man calls it a mistake, God calls it madness. You seen any of that lately? When man calls it a weakness, God calls it willfulness. When man calls it a sickness, God calls it sin. We don't like that. That goes against the grain. But that's one of God's ancient words that helps change our lives. The Apostle Peter, like the Apostle Paul, described how Satan is using sin to devour humanity. And the word devour means to kind of just suck it down. Drown it out. Destroy it. There's not a whole lot to watch on television when you're sick for a week. And I found myself watching news programs and other programs, and I found myself asking questions like these. What in the world is going on? What is happening to our world? Have we gone crazy? When a governor of a leading state on the West Coast has to resign because of his not improper relationship, which was improper, but because of his corruptness. When a leading news anchor has to step down because he stretched the truth. We're shocked. When most of the world is saying, don't go see it, many people are flocking to the theater to see a movie that every sane person is saying, it'll destroy you. What's happened to our world? You know what's happened. The enemy has turned himself loose on the world. About 12 years ago, I slipped along with a few other people into a summit meeting in Colorado Springs at Focus on the Family building. Leaders gathered from all over the United States to talk about the movement that's taking place in our world that's destroying families, destroying marriages, and impacting churches. And I sat there and listened and thought, it will not happen in my lifetime. But when the legislature has to say, a pastor doesn't have to do gay marriages, it has arrived. What's happened to our world? Sin has come in and taken control, but that's always been true. We've just allowed it to be turned loose. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to fight the sinner? Are we going to offer hope and help and solutions and remedies and good news? There's really one answer for our sin problem, and it's not found in you or in me. It's found in the Lord Jesus. Just before you think the world has gone to hell in a handbasket, remember the world that Paul came into and he talked about sin to and how God changed it. You see, part of the song you sang had these words in it. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. What are you doing with your sin problem? Playing like it doesn't exist? Or are you saying, Lord Jesus, I need you now more than ever. I need you in the world in which I live, in the life that I live. Would you bow with me? In a moment, James will come and lead us in an invitation. There'll be those of us here at the front to counsel with you and to help you. Everyone in this room's a sinner. Everyone in this room needs a Savior. If God thought you could save yourself, He would be a cruel man to allow His Son to die. But His Son died so you and I could be forgiven and set free. Father, You know everybody in this room. You know where our struggles are, what our addictions are, what our fears are. And Father, Your Son Jesus Christ is the answer for our sin problem. Some in this room just need to stand in a moment sing and turn their lives afresh over to You and say, Father, take control again. There are perhaps others, Father, who need to say, I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the battle. I can't win. I'm going to trust Jesus who won the battle. Would You give courage, Father, to whatever public decisions need to be made, but also to whatever private decisions need to be made. The word sin, Father, bothers us. But the word Jesus changes our lives. Help us to yield to Him today in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together and sing?